You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Well, as we know, it's Saturday, September the 6th. We are live. James Edwards and Keith Alexander, that is we, here on the Political Cesspool radio program, coming to you from our brand newly updated flagship radio station here. I mean, fresh paint job, fresh carpet in the studio. We have got to get... Now, I haven't rehung all of my memorabilia and our awards and all of the stuff that makes this our home. We do have our own studio, though. It's just for our show here at the station, and it's really nice. I mean, everything has been updated. I guess for 10 years, you get the update to the Platinum Package. But it's nice, and it's just like taking a new car out for a spin, and it's nice to have new and better equipment to make for a better broadcast. And so we are still breaking it in. Keith went down the hall to the green room there during the extended commercial break that we have at the top of each hour, and he is, well, I'm not going to tell you what he's eating. I can't bring myself hardly to look at it. This is like a horror story, right? This is like a nightmare. Keith, why don't you tell them what's going on here? I can't bear to vocalize it.
I'm eating hummus with broccoli and other vegetables that I'm dipping in the hummus and eating. James can't imagine. You couldn't put a loaded gun to James' head and make him eat a meal like that.
I'd rather starve to death. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, this is just – it's. I might have to ask you to turn your chair around. I'm just kidding. All right. So anyway, we're going to go behind enemy lines this segment.
Get James a barf bag.
And you're going to get right on that brand new mic and just swallow the thing, because that's you don't have the nice little sheath that I got. And so
okay.
Now that's the last thing. We got to spend the last 50 cents to get you a mic cover.
Yeah, I do need the mic cover.
It's essential. I mean, it's essential for any radio broadcasting professional. But you're going to take us behind enemy lines this entire hour. Now, me and Keith got together earlier this week. He swung by the joint and gave me some ideas that he was pitching for the show. Knocked it out of the park. I thought these were great items warranting his commentary. What's the first one up for discussion tonight, Keith?
Okay, well, as usual, we get all of our fodder for Behind Enemy Lines, almost all of it, from our local fish wrap, the Commercial Appeal. Now, this is an article from the Friday, August the 12th edition from this year, and it says, TVA to shutter Allen plant, build cleaner gas-fired facility. Okay, what's happening? What are the consequences? How does this fit into the liberal jigsaw puzzle? Well, here's what's happening. Memphis is luckily and blessed to be part of the Tennessee Valley Authority, and we have a local utility that was formed by the late Boss Crump, who was the political boss of Memphis from about 1909 until his death in 1954. Memphis Light Gas and Water is Boss Crump's gift that keeps on giving. He basically consolidated a lot of privately owned utility companies, put them under one management, and has provided Memphians with low-cost light, gas, and water for basically the last 100 years. And we have a primary power generating plant in South Memphis called the Thomas H. Allen Steam Plant. How they generate it is this. What they do is they use coal to burn a furnace. The furnace heats water. We have an abundant supply of water here in Memphis. We have artesian wells, which give us some of the highest quality drinking water in the nation. You know, just turn on the tap, and it's as good as anything you can get in a bottle from anywhere else, okay? Has no sodium taste. It's delicious water, okay? Well, we use this water, among other things, to drive steam turbines, which is how we get our power, our electrical power here in Memphis. Now, the globalists and the liberals and the environmental change freaks don't like the fact that we use coal. Coal is a fossil fuel. Coal is abundant in the United States of America. We have enough coal to last thousands upon thousands of years without depleting the resource here in the United States. One of the scenes that you often see in Memphis, because we are one of the few cities in America that is a terminus or a juncture for five trunk railroads, is a train load, I mean for miles, of coal cars, hopper cars filled with coal headed to the Thomas H. Allen steam plant. We get low-cost power as a result of that. Memphis, though, being a 65% black city, has citizens, many citizens, that can't afford even low-cost utilities. So how does Memphis deal with this? Well, of course, our liberal gurus want us to shutter this plant and go to a better, cleaner, greener energy source. And of course, this is going to cost millions upon millions of dollars, which will have to come from somewhere. And I know exactly who it's going to come from. It's going to come from those of us who they think or assume can afford it. And the people that can't afford it are going to be in for a free ride. And this is the way that they are going to turn Memphis, one of the features they're going to use to turn Memphis into the next Detroit, if they're allowed to go forward with all of this. Of course, it's an emperor's new clothes scenario. There is nothing wrong with the coal-fired plant. I have two white cars at home. I have never come out to one of my cars in the morning and found the least speck of coal soot on my car, okay? This is clean. It is up to date. It is, you know, they recycle all the emissions. It's not bad at all by any, you know, reasonable standard. But we're going to incur this enormous expense because it's fashionable among leftists to do that, James. Now, somebody has to pick up the tab for all of this. And what's probably going to happen is you're going to pay more for less power. They're going to ask you to ration your power eventually, where you don't get to use the power that you need to live a typical 21st century life.
And you already see that in California with water.
You already see that in California with water. You already see that with power in certain parts of the world. Well, this is an effort basically to drive us back to the Stone Age, if they had their druthers, I guess. And this is what we're always going to be confronting from the left. They are jealous of our first world lifestyle that has been created for the most part by white people in white societies. They want to bring us down a peg to the way that other people live. We'll talk more about this and other Behind Enemy Lines features after these words from our sponsors.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody here. I want you to get a verbal description here of what I'm looking at. Keith has brought in enough newspaper to start a bonfire here in our newly and tastefully appointed studio. This upgrade, you know, they did this last year here at the radio station. Yeah, he's trashing it up is what he's doing. He's bringing in this commercial appeal. He's like, you know, taking us down here. He's ruining the vibe, this new smell. I mean, you can smell the fresh paint. They did a little renovation last year, and if you'll remember, a couple of months ago, we had to take a week off because they were doing a lot of work with the equipment, but it's finally all put into place. I know I've mentioned it a couple of times already, but it's the one bit of good news I guess we can share with you tonight. You know, this is the political cesspool. And I wish we had more things to share with you that were uplifting. I mean, certainly listening to this show and just to know that a show out here exists like ours is good news and worthy of celebration. But it is the cesspool, so we focus on things that are dirty. And what Keith has brought in is just pure filth. If it comes from the commercial appeal,
and they support it,
you know it's going to be bad. And they support it. You know it's going to be wrong. And we move from the environment, I guess you could say, and certainly we all want to be good stewards of our environment and the natural resources that God gave us. But at the same time, people are people, and people need energy, and we don't need to be put over a barrel. It's okay to use coal. But what else you got for us, Keith?
Well, here's another commercial appeal special from the Sunday, August 24th, 2014 edition. Section C, headline in the business section. For better or worse, Memphis has become a landlord's town, by Ted Avinsky. Okay? Now, what are they talking about? Here's what they're talking about. Memphis had an abundance of black people. Okay? It has 65% black population. So we were particularly targeted when the Bush administration first, and then the Obama administration decided that somehow there was a pernicious reason why black people didn't own homes. They were being prevented by racists from owning homes. So there's this great pressure put on mortgage lending companies and banks by groups like Acorn to require them to bend their rules, bend their credit standards, and make mortgage loans to black people and for homes located in black or other minority neighborhoods. This was a nationwide push. Now, certain gloom and doom naysayers, like the people on this show, said this isn't going to work. But of course, we were cast aside as being illegitimate voices with illegitimate ideas. So the federal government pressured all sorts of mortgage companies, Bancorp South and others, Regions Bank, into making these type of loans. And a lot of CEOs and management in these companies decided that the best thing, if you can't lick them, join them, let's get ahead of the curve. Let's be very enthusiastic about making these loans. Well, they did. And what was the result? The predictable result that conservative bankers had predicted from the beginning. You start making loans to people who are not creditworthy, and they default. So you had this massive default and this housing bubble back around 2007, 2008, 2009. There were large new subdivisions in Memphis that were built under the auspices of this new program, Community Reinvestment Act, it was called, that are now have gone through foreclosure. People didn't pay for them. They defaulted on their mortgage payments. And as a result, the banks held these properties and there weren't a lot of buyers for them. So what has happened? Well, what's happened in Memphis is that out-of-town investors, particularly from New York and from the West Coast, have come in and bought what they consider to be bargain-priced homes out of foreclosure, and they have gone into the landlord business. What's happening? What's the explanation for all this? Well, the explanation is this. According to the political cesspool, what this shows is that black people really don't want to be homeowners, despite what well-intentioned white liberals might argue to the contrary. They want to have a...
Keith's so popular, he does get phone calls during a live broadcast, as you can perhaps hear. He is tending to that right now.
Yeah, I've got to call these things back. But anyway, what happens is this. They're buying, they don't want to have home ownership because it's inconvenient. They have lives that are changeable, okay? They like having, for example, if they run into a rough patch, they lose their job, they go to jail or something like this. They like it in a situation where all they are in default for is, let's say, 6 months worth of rental payments on a one-year lease. What they don't want is to be in a situation where they have, 30 years worth of mortgage payments out there that have gone unpaid. So consequently, they prefer being tenants. And that's what they're doing. They're now living in these homes, but not as homeowners, but as tenants. Now, has anyone with the federal government apologized about this? No. In fact, much to the contrary. They have brought lawsuits against the lenders that foreclosed on these defaulters, like Wells Fargo Bank, and they're getting billion-dollar settlements from them on the grounds that they somehow misled these poor defaulting black people into accepting predatory loans. Now, what were the predatory loans? The predatory loans were typically what they call adjustable rate mortgages. Adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs, they're called, have adjustable rates. They're not like the standard fixed rate mortgage that most people get. Why would anybody want to get an adjustable rate mortgage? Well, the answer is simple. They're cheaper. At the very beginning, at least, your house note is less under an ARM than it would be under a fixed rate mortgage. If it adjusts and the market conditions warrant it, if it goes up people find that their house note goes up and they can no longer afford it. Then why would anybody want an ARM? Well, somebody who is smart might want an ARM if they intended to keep the house for a very short period of time and flip it, sell it to somebody, think they're going to make more money on it. On the other hand, improvident people might want an ARM because it leaves them with more what we call WAM, walking around money. They have less money to spend every month on a house note, which means they have more money to walk around with and spend in some discretionary way. This is what happened in the minority population, in the minority housing market. And, of course, again, it's all being blamed not on the improvident people that decided to go for ARMs rather than fixed-rate mortgages. Now they're blaming the lenders for even making these available to these people. So, you know, you cannot win in this situation. And we now they're complaining that Memphis has become a landlord's town. Well, it's either going to become a landlord's town or it's going to become a great wasteland, because there are not going to be people that qualify for these mortgages, even under the relaxed circumstances that we have today. All right, folks, we'll be back with more Behind Enemy Lines after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Keith Alexander taking the helm of the CSS cesspool. This, our second hour, he's taking us behind enemy lines, which is what he calls his raids into the local fish wrap, which is the commercial appeal. Every once in a while, Keith engages
stories
in a little masochism. Sam Dixon listens to NPR. Keith reads the commercial appeal. It's basically the same thing. They just like to get red hot and bothered and go in and clean up the mess. But we've covered mortgages and the whole lending debacle. We've covered energy and the environment a little bit. Keith, making right the wrongs in these articles and the way that these stories were projected to the reader. We have a caller very quickly before we find out what else Keith has in store for us this, our second hour. And then in the third hour, I've got some stories that I want Keith to answer rather than bring to the table. And we're going to make it all happen tonight. But we got Tim in Arkansas, our neighboring state to the west. Tim, take it away.
What's going on? What's going on? Listen, I listened to your interview with Richard Spencer. It was excellent. Excellent interview.
Thank you very much. You did a good job asking questions. Thank you.
And then on this other situation with the lenders, I just got turned on the show. So Keith probably mentioned this, but of course it was the government that instigated the fact that these lenders had to lend this money in the first place. They were the ones under the Clinton administration that had said, that you've got to do something to help these people. And then,
absolutely. Excuse me, Tim. This is Keith. Absolutely. That's what we did say, but it needs to be said emphatically that this whole debacle is a government production. The federal government required lenders to loosen and relax their credit standards so that they could make loans to minority applicants regardless of whether or not they were qualified. And when, as any reasonable person would have predicted, they started defaulting, then you have another Hobson's choice. Basically, they blamed it not on the improvident borrowers, but on the lenders, saying that they had sold these people intentionally bad, predatory mortgages that they were bound to default on, and they are settling these cases out for billions of dollars. It's just, it is incredible, this world that we live in today, where the government is basically blackmailing and extorting businesses, and when things don't turn out the way the government wants, they punish the people that they forced to make the loans to these improvident people in the first place. It's just, it's total nonsense, but that's the world we live in today.
Well, at the end of the alley where the can no longer be kicked, there's going to have to be a solution. When that comes, it may not be pleasant.
I like the way you worded that.
The solution is this. The solution is easy, Tim. The light bulb needs to come on over the heads of enough white Americans. They need to, and other Americans who have common sense as their guide rather than ideology. And they need to say, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to tolerate, for example, replacing a perfectly good power generating plant like the Thomas H. Allen steam plant in Memphis with some new expensive costly energy source just because it's fashionable among the Bree set in Carmel, California. Likewise, we need to get people's radar fine-tuned so that they can see these things coming down the path the way that you and I can. That basically, I predicted that nothing good was going to come from that Community Reinvestment Act. And, of course, I was right. And, of course, no one gives us credit for it, and no one heeds us. But we see what's happening.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. They're picking up on that. Listen, they've got to be using your template of racial reality and ideology on Fox News, because there's too much of an overlap. I told you, of course, that I was listening to a show and it sounded exactly like the political cesspool. People are picking up your template. People are beginning to speak out. How much political action we will reap from it, I don't know, but it is happening, and you guys are causing it.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to have an event coming up here next month where we celebrate our 10th birthday, and we are going to go in depth about what the right approach is and what people need to do. They need to be doing in their communities what I do here. They need to be reading their local newspaper, studying their nightly news, and they need to be able to break down these news stories that are packaged in one way by the establishment and provide an alternative reading, a truthful reading, for people to know what's really going on behind the scenes, behind enemy lines. So, we've noticed the exact same thing, how all sorts of mainstream outlets now tend to be more outspoken on racial issues, and I do think that the political cesspool has had something to do with that.
I think you've had a lot to do with it. Listen, I'll let you guys go. Congratulations on your 10th year, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Call.
Yeah,
good
absolutely,
to hear from you.
Tim. Thank you for the compliments and for allowing us to expand upon a very good topic. Thank you for your comments. Keith?
Okay. Now, I'm going to vary from my normal pattern, and I'm going to start talking about an issue that was focused upon in Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum radio program that she had. I heard it today. About hypertrophic drugs and psychotropic drugs that are being used to control the behaviors of very young children. She had an expert by the name of Frank on who she interviewed about this. And again, this is another symptom of liberalism governing all sorts of, you know, unlikely corners of our lives. Now, what does the use of psychotropic drugs, things like Adderall and Ritalin, on very young children have to do with the advancement of the liberal vision for society? Well, we're going to get into that. Here's what it is, okay? Typically, these drugs and drugs like them are being used by educators to control the behavior of, and the vast majority of the people that this is prescribed for are young males, okay? Very few girls are prescribed Adderall or Ritalin or any other type of psychotropic drugs that control behavior, particularly at young ages, as young as 3 years old. As soon as a child gets into pre-kindergarten, if he is seen as being in the least way disruptive, then the school officials get together with the parents and tell them that little Johnny needs to be on Ritalin, needs to be on Adderall, needs to be on some other type of mind-bending drug, and it's being done under the auspices of treating this heretofore unknown disorder. It was unknown, let's say, 30, 40, 50 years ago, called ADHD. It's for overactive children, supposedly. ADD and ADHD. Now, what are they trying to do? Well, Phyllis Schlafly was at least partially onto it. She said that they're basically trying to change little boys into little girls. They don't want boys to be boys, which was, you know, the common wisdom of our ancestors. You know, boys will be boys. Boys are going to be rambunctious, boisterous, and that is natural and normal. That's why you have institutions like recess at the schools, so that the boys can go out and let off steam, push each other around, get rowdy and whatnot, and then when they blow off the steam, they can come in and be prepared to learn. Now they're doing away with those opportunities to let off steam, and they're instead prescribing mood-altering drugs for little children. And this has negative effects, not only for the child, but for society generally. You know, we'll talk more about this and other topics of interest after these words from our sponsors.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Back to get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. As we continue behind enemy lines, talking about stories that have caught Keith's attention and piqued his interest enough to present them to you and set the commercial appeal straight. He's talking now about mind-altering drugs that they prescribe to boys who have energy. Basically, and that's what it is. If a boy has energy in school, they put him on these drugs to turn him into a zombie. And I know a little something about that. I was talking about my brother, my younger brother. my only sibling. He turns 30 years old today. Today's his birthday. Well, he was put on that. And back then in the 80s, you know, parents trusted the recommendation of their doctors. I mean, we didn't know the effects of these drugs. They were still, you know, relatively new. And I know, and everyone would agree, and himself included, that it impaired him to be on these things. And thankfully, he wasn't on them for very long. But all of these things, no single issue is responsible for the situation that we are in as European Americans in this country. It's not entirely the media. It's not entirely third world immigration. It's not entirely our wicked foreign policy. It's not entirely these mind-altering drugs. But when they are all put into a maelstrom and working in cooperation with one another to tear us apart, the results soon become predictable. And what you have now is a, as Sam Dixon put it, a ground down biomass. I mean, our people now are just slovenly, almost, I mean, Keith, they're almost brain dead. And I don't say that again to be sensational. You look at the people walking around Walmart, you look at the people walking around, and it's not just these kids that are on Ritalin, you know, adults now, you know, if they have a problem, if they have, you know, if they're in a bad mood or they have hurt feelings, they'll go to a psychiatrist and they'll get all of these drugs. And we have a drugged up and dumbed down citizenry now. And when you have a wide section of the population that is in this confused, zombie-like state of mind, well, what can they not get away with? And again, it's not just that. It's not just these drugs. But when you combine it all, that you know, it certainly paves the way.
Well, I guess the ultimate lesson from all of this is that there is no aspect of your life that you can take for granted. You cannot assume, for example, that your church is giving you wholesome information and sound Christian doctrine. You need to pay close heed to what you're hearing. You can't depend upon your doctor being all wise, and that if the doctor says it, well, then we go along with it, because these psychotropic drugs have basically created some children that are beyond reclamation. Based on my experience, I'm like James. I was a parent when he was a child in the 80s, and I saw all of these kids, boys that were just what I would have called rambunctious boys, that were typical, and every school had them. They tended to be, for the most part, they were either considered a little bit out there, or they were male leaders among the children. Okay.
I mean, and of course they're supposed to be rambunctious and energetic. That should be nurtured, not restricted. And then, I mean, what do you expect from a six-year-old in first grade? They don't have a long attention span.
Well, the reason they're attacking it is because it is contrary to liberal dogma, which is the equality of the sexes. Men and women are interchangeable. They're the same. Okay? Now, what has happened because of these psychotropic drugs and their overuse? Well, I went to a seminar recently, which was attended primarily by young associate lawyers, that's non-partner lawyers, in other words, new hires, with big silk stocking law firms in my town. And the thing that I was most struck by was how feminized the men were and how masculinized the women were. That seems to be the goal of the left. They want masculinized women and feminized men. Now, they don't give psychotropic drugs to young girls. I would say 8 out of 10 of the children that are prescribed these drugs are males. They want to basically burn the distinctive maleness out of these boys. And on the other hand, they're trying to build maleness and competitiveness into these girls. That's what the Title IX program, gender equity in sports, is all about. You've got to have all these sports for girls so girls can do what? Become professional athletes? No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to make girls harder edged and more competitive so that they can be more competitive and claw their way to the top of the corporate jungle, being law firms and corporations and the service sector, whatever. This is their goal. They want, it's all about white male displacement, doing away with the white male hegemony. But on the other hand, this is the way societies have developed throughout the world for time in memoriam. Maybe that's nature's way. Well, if nature's way is in conflict with liberal dogma, well, guess which one gets thrown overboard? Nature gets thrown overboard. We're going to change nature through things like psychotropic drugs and through laws like Title IX. This is more of the liberal game plan. Now, another consequence of all this is falling birth rates. Men don't find masculine women any more attractive than women find feminized men attractive. And as a result, is it any wonder that we've seen a decline in birth rates in the Western world, particularly white birth rates? We're the ones that this is all being prescribed to. They're not doing this throughout the population. This is what's popular in kind of expensive private schools and higher-end public schools, this prescription of Ritalin, Adderall, and other things like that. Kids get hooked on them. Kids don't develop themselves the way that they should. There are kids that I knew that basically could not prepare a term paper or prepare for final exams unless they had Adderall or Ritalin to take. They would find some kid in their acquaintance that had a lawful prescription for this, and that kid would sell them Ritalin and Adderall so that they could pull all-nighters and prepare for exams. Now, see, this is the result of the policy that has been established by our elites of using drugs to prevent boys from being boys. And it's having disastrous consequences. But all these disastrous consequences, wonder of all wonders, seems to fit hand in glove with the liberal project. They want males to lose their dominant position in society. So that's what is being accomplished. They would like to see white birth rates fall below replacement level. Well, guess what? This works to further that agenda as well. James, it's almost, it's so diabolical that it boggles the mind that someone could have come up with all these different ways to basically induce us to commit suicide as a society, a culture, and a race.
Well, and the fact that we, and I say we collectively speaking as a people, have allowed not just one, not just two or three, but for all of these onslaughts to afflict us with very little resistance, you know, that's something that we've talked about before. I mean, we don't justify or condone any violence, but when you talk about the radical and almost instantaneous way in which the way of life in the South was in a state of upheaval in the 60s, it was remarkable how restrained our people were. And certainly you should be restrained with regards to going out and murdering people and doing things like that, heinous activities that our enemies do. But we just, I don't know if it's just that we've been beaten for so long that we're just used to losing, and we complain for a little while, and then we just allow anything that they throw at us to wash over us, but that there's been no resistance to or very little resistance, at least publicly, that we can find to these drugs. I know you can find a lot of stuff on the internet, and there are a lot of people getting wise to this, but just everything. The majority of the people agree with us on any one of these issues that we've used as an example here. But when it comes to uniting together and refusing to take no for an answer, you just don't see it.
Well, I would encourage parents to do this. If some official at your school, whether it's a private school or a public school, recommends that your child get on one of these drugs, you need to seriously consider taking your child out of that school and either homeschooling them or getting them into some type of alternative schooling setting. Because after a kid's brain has been fried with these drugs for years, the chances of them growing up to be a normal, productive adult are seriously threatened. And nobody wants that type of fate for their child. And you need to understand that these people that pretend to know it all basically know nothing. Most of them are sheeple, just following the trend. Teachers would rather not have to deal with disruptive kids, but disruptive boys are part of society and always have been. We'll be back with more after these words from our sponsors.
Third and final hour right around the corner, folks.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.